Welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, the show designed to help make middle age your prime time of life by defying the notion that once you reach 40, 50, or even 60 years old, your crowning achievements are all behind you. Regardless of whether you're just approaching 40 or are firmly entrenched in your middle years, it's time to launch your very own personal journey toward a joyful and purpose-filled second half of life. Each week, host Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, will discuss the challenges common to middle age and help guide you to a brighter tomorrow. Now, here's Roy.
Hello and welcome to the weekly edition of Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age. Let me begin today's program with four personal questions. And don't worry, you don't have to answer them to anyone else other than to yourself. But question one, do you feel that you're always searching but never really finding the real inner you? Two, is the mental programming within blocking you from achieving your dreams, goals, and desires? Three, are you clear about what you really want out of life? And four, how can you move past that inner voice that keeps blocking you from where you want to go? And let's be honest here, to change at middle age is never easy or comfortable, especially at the level of consciousness. Also, you and I know it's convenient to blame circumstances beyond our control or someone else if we're less than fully satisfied with our lives today. That way we have a built-in excuse for not changing. In fact, we may have been viewing the world and reacting to it in somewhat the same manner for a number of years. And who among us likes to relinquish the old way of doing things, even if the current results aren't that great? What if we screw up and lose what little we have now, not to mention potential shame and humiliation? In a nutshell, that's why most of us decide to make change only if our lives start to unravel or become extremely uncomfortable, or when tragedy strikes or things go so bad we can't afford not to change. Maybe death of a loved one, a life partner, breakup of our marriage, loss of a job or a major career setback, or maybe a traumatic health crisis, either ourselves or in a loved one. But why wait around for a life-changing disruption if you're less than fully satisfied with your life today? And my guest today, author and successful serial entrepreneur Micheline Nader, is here to introduce us to a powerful method to full conscious awareness. It works for those of us recovering from loss or trauma, and for those of us simply dissatisfied with one or more aspects of our life today. And if you think you have it tough, listen to Micheline's story. Her father went bankrupt in her teens, and her family lost their possessions. Her father then passed away when she was only 16. War in her native country of Lebanon forced her to flee the country. And at age 23, she had become a successful healthcare and wellness entrepreneur, founded several wealth care centers in France, Canada, and the U.S., and has a doctoral degree in healthcare management. And she recently sold her businesses so she could share her method of self-discovery with others as a life coach and author. And she's author of the 2015 book, The Dolphin's Dance, Discover Your True Self Through a Powerful Five-Step Journey into Conscious Awareness. And she's here to help you operate your own reset button to start over, and that works at any age, right, Micheline? And it's indeed an honor to have you with us here today.
Thank you, Roy. I'm honored to be with you on this show, and I love your introduction. You've said it all. I don't know if I have anything to add to it today.
Well, I hope so. In chapter one of your book, you introduce us to conscious awareness. And what is conscious awareness, and what is the benefit of attaining it, and how do we know when we've achieved it?
Conscious awareness actually is a state of wakefulness of the mind. It's being aware of our own existence, our own emotions, our own feelings and beliefs, our thoughts and patterns. And it is not a thing. It's not a thing that we get. It's something that is connected to this all-knowing that we have inside of us, but we, for some reason, do not allow ourselves to access it.
I see.
It is a space within which things like thoughts, feelings, and beliefs arise at the same time we are oblivious. It's invisible to us most of our lives, except if we make the decision to become aware of it and decide that we want to align our emotional and physical and mental and spiritual being to the higher consciousness.
I see. Well, your book is titled The Dolphin's Dance, and in it you present a five-step journey to conscious awareness where each letter and dance stands for one stage of the process. What are the five stages, just in summary?
The five stages follow the acronym DANCE. The D stands for discover your emotions, the A to awaken to your beliefs, the N to naming your patterns, the C to cancel out your polarities, and the E to embrace your true self.
Well, what is the significance of the dolphin in the five-step journey and in the book's title? We'll get into each of those five stages, but how does the dolphin fit in?
The dolphin is a very powerful metaphor of conscious awareness. It's a great symbol. I had a vision of a dolphin as I was meditating, as I was going through one of the crises that you were describing in your introduction.
Yeah.
One of my very big midlife crises, I call it also the dark night of the soul. I describe it in the book.
Yeah.
I didn't understand back then what it meant. And then as I was uncovering the process from my own experience, I discovered that a dolphin is a great metaphor for conscious awareness.
Nice.
Its greatly developed brain has three frontal lobes. It sleeps while being awake. It's exactly like us. It echoes who we are. It echoes what we want for in our life. We all long for flowing with life. And the dolphin appears, disappears. It flows with ease. And it dives in. Like, we all long for this deep self-discovery and awareness. And
yeah, you know, I like how you call it a great metaphor for diving deeper into self-discovery and then jumping out and joyfully skimming along the surface.
Yeah, and also, you know, when life gets tough and our game is, we feel that we're stuck in life, we want to change our game and we don't know how. And I discovered a great flip. We can flip our game. Having access to this process, like the flip of the dolphin. And we all long for playfulness. And the dolphins are great animals, play and are joyful. And we want this in our life.
Amen. Well, before we start our five-step journey to conscious awareness, you tell us to set our intention. And why is the initial step necessary, and how should we go about setting it? Can you give us an example of an effective intention and how it should be structured?
An intention is very important. It's like setting your GPS to where you're going. Without
or
intention,
us old-timers looking at a map.
Exactly. And what happens, Roy, where attention goes, energy flows.
Yeah.
So by giving ourselves an intention, even when we let go of it, we don't want to get attached to it. It's up to GPS where you're heading. So it's so important.
Well, let's talk about a bit about each of the dolphins' dance stages. Stage one, discover your emotions. You instruct how to uncover the identity signature. And what is this identity signature, and how do we find it? And is the identity signature the same as our true self? And how did this identity signature generally get implanted? How do they get implanted in our minds?
So the identity signature, Roy, is a construct that I constructed myself based on my own experience. And the construct is to show really the reader that this identity signature that we identify with is really not what we are or who we are.
I see.
It's just an illusion. So but what I've discovered also throughout my experience is that while knowing what it takes to transform my game, while knowing because all of us know how to think positive thoughts, to create positivity in our lives. We've all been exposed to The Secret or to Abraham's work or the law of attraction. Yet, it seems like we can't get that.
Yeah.
So
amen.
Why we can't get that?
Yeah.
So the identity signature is a construct. It's actually the structure that our ego takes to express itself in the world. And for some reason, we get confused in our life and we think this is who we are. So what I created actually in this process and that emanated from my own discovery, that what is at play in our life and what is the root cause for all the what is going on in our life is an emotion that is embodied somehow, somewhere in our life, in our subconscious, that prevents us from moving forward and we are not aware of it. So the identity signature is the sum of the emotional logo. What I say the emotional logo because we go back to that emotion and we connect it to our previous trauma in life and we see what is connection with our previous trauma and we connect it to our belief matrix. How do we have this limiting belief and why do we have this limiting belief that plays constantly, that little voice that I'm not good enough. Or I can't do it. What is the connection with our emotional trauma and how it is played in our behavioral patterns, which is the third step of the dance, naming our patterns, our core pattern in life that we keep repeating. By linking all this and constructing, reconstructing this, we have a simple access that is really defined that will help us to really have a port of entry to access this conscious awareness and to bring that conscious awareness to our life on a daily basis.
Yeah, you say none of us aim to live a joyless or mediocre life, but many of us resign ourselves to mediocrity even though we're capable of living a great life. And I guess, why does that happen? I guess it's that identity you're just talking about that we
Exactly, because what I've discovered in my life, I knew it all. I was an entrepreneur. I've been a seeker since I was very young because I wanted to make, you know, sense of what was happening. Why do these losses happen to me? So I had accumulated all this knowledge. Yet, even when I was a successful entrepreneur, every time I had a P&L that did not look good, I had this fear, that emotion that surfaced. And I didn't know what it was. Well, I know how to, you know, I understand what it takes. But what I did not understand, that was linked to my marker event, which I construct in my emotional logo, which was that trauma that came associated with an emotion that kept replaying itself every time an incident, like that incident that happened or that crisis that happened in my life resurfaced.
Yeah, that's fascinating how we go back and then we come across, we develop then what you call a verdict, which is a negative opinion that we sentence ourselves to.
And as a result of what happened, because life was good and beautiful, and all of a sudden life stops being comfortable. Yeah. And then what do we say to ourselves or what do we believe about ourselves because we believe someone who told us this? It could be someone close to us who told us, you're not good enough, you're bad or something. And we start believing this.
Yeah, it may have been implanted when we were a small child, too. I know a lot of experts emphasize that so often that pattern goes way back.
It is embodied in our subconscious. But the fact that we are aware of it and we're not able to shift it is because it's associated to the emotion. And that negative emotion is actually energy in motion. That's why it sticks. And more so, it plays in one part of our body that we constantly, like, I constantly had stomach pain. I had developed an ulcer. And whenever I discovered that and I was able to isolate that emotion, guess what? I was able to heal myself without medication.
Without going into great detail, can you explain stage two of the dance's name your patterns and you talk about a core pattern and a shadow pattern. And what are these two patterns, and why is it important that we identify them?
It's very important for us to identify the recurrent behavioral pattern that is responsible for 80% of our actions. As human beings, we develop patterns in our life. Anything, any thought that is repetitive, any action that is repetitive becomes a pattern.
Yeah.
So despite the many patterns that we have in our life, we all of us have a predominant pattern. Whenever we face a threat, that predominant pattern takes over. It's a major one that continues to appear over and over again. And sometimes we ask ourselves, like, why do I behave a certain way with this person? And it doesn't seem that I can change my behavior.
Yeah.
Along with this, there's this shadow pattern also that is hidden that we don't want to see. It's like this part of us that is concealed from the world. I don't want you to see that. If you see that, Roy, you will hate me. You would not think that I'm worth even being interviewed by you today on your show, right?
Yeah.
Everyone. It doesn't matter how handsome, pretty, wealthy, successful you are.
Yeah.
Every one of us has this hidden part that is the shadow. And
always,
as we keep pushing it away, it's like a buoy. It's going to surface at a time where we don't want it to surface. By leaving this pattern and becoming aware of it, we're constructing the puzzle of who we think we are. Because most of us, we identify with our beliefs, our emotions, our patterns. In fact, this is how we behave. Please don't touch it, because if you change my behavior, especially in midlife, you know, I can't behave. I can't act anymore. I can't be myself.
Yeah.
So mistakenly, we think that this is who we are. And also, this pattern actually controls our life without us being aware of it.
So
I'm not saying by constructing your emotional logo, your identity signature, you will become free of all this. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying, by becoming aware of it, it stops controlling your life. You take the driver's seat yourself, and you are aware of it. So when
if you're aware of it, there's my pattern asserting itself again. That certainly is one step toward being in control rather than letting the pattern control you, I would think.
Exactly. Then you can stop and ask yourself your question. What is activated right now? Is it my ego or is it my true self?
Yeah.
You know, and the ego is really the construct, this identity signature that we identify ourselves with. And I'm not saying this is bad. I'm saying that we are all of it. Could it be our identity signature plus something invisible that is here, that is in all-knowing, that informs our actions instead of us informing the actions in the world from that identity signature? So this is a big question.
Well, what is our true self? Is it contained within, or is it beyond our human experience? And if we clear out space in our consciousness, will we find it? Is that what we're trying to do with this dance exercise?
Absolutely. You said it, Roy. Because actually, our true self is our true self. It's here, whether we are aware of it or we're not aware of it. But what changes is by uncovering, by decluttering the space that we fill ourselves with, by not identifying with this identity signature or with that ego. What happens, we remove all this clutter as if you're weeding your garden. You're removing all these weeds. So you're uncovering your authentic true nature by just removing the clutter. And you're connecting now to your true self that has always been there, to that you, when you came to this world, you came from that consciousness, the greater consciousness.
Yeah.
And you became the co-creator, because you're the co-creator. The true self is there. But through life, we go through conditioning. We go through a lot of things that we think this is our true self, and we identify ourselves with it. So by bringing conscious awareness, actually the purpose is to create more space between us and our emotions, us and our behavior, us and our pattern, us and our belief. And guess what? Less space between us and who we really are, our true self.
Yeah, that's great. Well, why is forgiveness such an important part of the dance? Do we need to forgive ourselves in addition to forgiving others or others who have harmed us? Or what part does forgiveness play in the authentic healing?
Actually, forgiveness is a very key part. Like, people ask me, do you mean that you get that person off the hook if you forgive him? I say, not at all. I don't get him off the hook. I don't excuse his behavior or her behavior. But guess what? If I keep holding on to this negative charge,
yeah,
I can't express myself fully in the world. As long as I'm holding on to the bitterness, I'm filling that space with it. And actually, before forgiving others, we have to forgive ourselves. I feel that when people tell you, oh, I forgave her, I ask the question, did you forgive yourself? Because with every time we feel betrayed by something, what it is triggered is our own blame. You know, why did I trust this person? And at the same time, what's triggered is our grief. So you can't forgive others.
That's
if
such
you don't
a good point.
Yourself.
How could I have been so stupid as to trust this other person or whatever?
Exactly. And could you give someone something that you don't have?
Yeah, that's true.
You can't. So you can't forgive someone if you didn't forgive yourself, really.
That's why you can't really love someone unless you love yourself as well. It's your true self. Obviously, you feel part of something bigger than yourself, and you feel at home in the world and in the universe, and you love, obviously, being alive, and it works. Once we've found our true self through higher consciousness, I like how you tell us what's the next natural step to fulfillment. Don't we have to move beyond ourselves and reach out to others and serving others to really maintain that joy and that fulfillment in our lives?
Absolutely. What happens, Roy, is I feel, for me, my experience was the first half of my life was all about accumulating knowledge, seeking, being successful. But the second half of life is really contributing to life itself. And what do we contribute, really, except our true self? And contributing our true self is really contributing our passion in the world. It has been always there. I feel like my first half of life was about accumulating the knowledge that all of a sudden I put it out to service. When I discovered my true self, all of a sudden there was no clutter. So I didn't have to program myself to think positively. I started attracting the things I love in myself or I love to do. I started attracting them, and I felt that the things I didn't love to do anymore are going away. So all of a sudden, I sold my business because I felt like, oh, I'm successful, but is this who I am? And I felt that whatever I found that helped me in my life, I wanted to put it to service. I wanted to contribute to whoever wants to be contributed to.
You know, that's such a wonderful message at middle age. You just mentioned you spent the first half of your life developing yourself and gaining inner knowledge, and it's so great at middle age to say now it's time to really go out, and if I haven't been already, to go out and really share what I've learned with others and bring them along to the joy that I feel. And it's just you know, your family, your community, your even at work, I mean, you can be spread positive energy there and bring others along. It's just such a wonderful discipline, or just a joyful existence when you're really thinking about others as well as yourself, and not just concentrating on adding to your wealth or whatever.
Right, exactly. To contribute, to continue with the flow. And actually, that's why in the process, in the Dolphin Stance process, we visit ourselves in order to free ourselves from the limitations. But we don't dwell there, because now that we connected to our true selves, and we know we have a method, we have a process that we can access very quickly in order to shift our experience and to flip it. Now it's time to to give back, and not only give back, while giving back who we are and what we are sharing in our life, the passion, the joy. I'm not saying that the other half of life you don't have to play golf. You can play golf. You have to play golf and be joyful. But at the same time, the joy comes from who you are and to your contribution, to speaking to people like yourself, you know, who stand for something in their life and contribute to the evolutionary process of life.
Well, your book, Dolphins Dance, who is it written for? Is it mostly for people who are suffering from, say, a loss or a trauma, or is it written for all of us who are kind of frustrated with where we are right now?
You know, I feel that it's written for everybody. First, when I wrote it, I wrote it for an audience such like yours, but when we did the focus group, I had a lot of people who were in their early 30s and even in their 20s who said, you know what? The Deepak Chopra of the world do not need this. We need it. So I adjusted the language to be more that speaks to all ages. Because for me, I started seeking very early in my life. I started in my teenage years. And I wish I had a method and access that helped me structure and see things clearly. So although now that thousands of people have done the process and we got the feedback from them and how it transformed their life or changed some aspects of their life, we know that the process works. It works as much as you want it to work. Because
I think you mentioned the process worked on your 83-year-old mother, and it's also something we might want to share with our teenage sons and daughters that would be a great start to adult life, I would think, that if they had that understanding. But where can we go to preview and purchase your book? What's the best place to find it?
Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Balboa. You could also go to my website, MichelinNader.com, if you remember my name, or thedolphinsdance.com. And purchase it. You could the audience could go and listen to some blogs. They could get also the free Clear Lagoon exercise for their relaxation that they could use. They could get the free workbook. They could get some tips and blogs that will continue supporting them.
Well, that's great. And concluding today's program, I urge all of you out there right here and now to first understand, then overcome all the blocks that tell us that we're not good enough, because today is the beginning of a new life, and over the next several weeks or months, as long as it takes, there's no time limit on it, you will understand and remove blockages, become consciously aware of the possibilities, and apply what you've learned to a joyful yet purpose-filled second half of life. And I would highly recommend Nicheline's book, The Dolphins Dance, as a wonderful set of instructions of how to go about that. She has a whole bunch of exercises in there that you can do to get in that state, to discover yourself and to come to that conscious awareness. And you can take as much time as you need, but never give up, because you deserve to be happy and joyful and fulfill the purpose you were created for. And thank you so much, Micheline Nader, for being with us today. It's been a most informative and inspirational discussion.
Thank you, Roy. Thank you for who you stand for in the world and for your inspiration as well.
And I'm honored to be on your show. Thank you for your inspiration. Well, today's guest, Micheline Nader, has just inspired us to discover our true selves, a five-step journey into what she calls conscious awareness. And to continue our journey to midlife enlightenment, I'm going to suggest a unique new way to overcome the twin midlife curses of lost dreams and diminished expectations. Remember those, we talk about them every so often. Worse yet, are you convinced that all of life's greatest joys and your crowning achievements lie behind you? Well, you are not at age 45 or age 55. You're not over the hill. As a person of middle age, you're refined by 25 to 35 years of adult life experience, and your potential to accomplish ambitious personal goals, enjoy life to the fullest, and contribute enormous value to others is beyond question. You know, the primary obstructions to personal growth, unrestrained joy, and genuine fulfillment in your life are self-imposed. And I certainly can speak from personal experience because I had a long years of being disappointed with life. At midlife and beyond, you most certainly can regain control of your emotions and can direct your personal destiny. You and I at age 45 or 55 or 65 retain the same innate capabilities, potential for growth, and capacity to serve others that we possessed in our 20s. And here's a crazy idea. Why not launch your journey to a bright, shining future by turning back the clock? I want you to take some time to identify and relive the most positive interludes in your life thus far, what I like to call your golden interludes. I don't know if the most recent golden interlude ended recently or a long time ago. Maybe you're still in it. Maybe you don't need to worry then if you're still living a wonderful, joy-filled life. But you may ask, why in the world would I want to go back and look at golden interludes that no longer exist in my life? It will just make me more regretful that I don't have the same joy in my life today. But my rationale is twofold. First, I want you to prove to yourself beyond question that you can establish and sustain a joyful, purposeful outlook in life because you've done that before. And second, by recreating your golden intervals in your mind, you can identify those elements that were present in them that may not be present in your life that are missing today. And your ultimate goal is to restore those positive elements or replace them with new positives, those that can't be restored. You know, conventional wisdom warns us not to dwell upon the past, but I suggest you reminisce on a few of your treasured golden interludes, and I trust you can recount at least three or four intervals of joy and enrichment and personal accomplishment in your adult years. And if you must, go back to college, high school, or even your preteen years. You're seeking to recall those life intervals, were they brief or extended, when you were truly happy, fulfilled, yet highly motivated to accomplish one or more ambitious life goals. And over the next few days, and there's no time limit, take period times out to reminisce on your treasured golden interludes. Close your eyes, black out the present, and bring to mind those most wonderful periods from your past. Paint vivid word mind pictures in as much detail as you can recall. Search the recesses of your mind or your memory to uncover positive elements that were present in one or more of these golden periods. And I'll wager that I know everyone's definition of success and joy are different, but I'll wager that your golden interludes from the past were accompanied by one or more of the following common threads. I know my past golden interlude certainly included these. First, an intimate personal relationship with one or more very special individuals. Second, an active role in planning and implementing your very own roadmap for the future. You did not for a moment doubt that you controlled your own destiny. Third, pride in your present station in life, in your relationships, workplace, and community, and your then current life choices. You did not foolishly envy what others had, nor wish to be anyone else in the entire world. And fourth, you had a burning desire to help others experience positive emotions similar to your own. It was always a win-win type situation, and you didn't enter into any personal interaction as a zero-sum game. I'm happy, you can't be. I mean, that's ridiculous. I'm successful, you can't be. And fifth, you willingly contributed time, energy, and resources to one or more worthy causes with absolutely no anticipation of personal monetary reward or reward of any kind. Not for an instant did you regret your personal sacrifice. You know, a few years ago, Budweiser introduced a born-on date for every bottle and can of beer they manufacture. I don't know if they still do that. I haven't noticed recently. But let's reverse the process. Why don't you identify and write down the precise ending date of your most recent golden interlude? Presumably, this was the final date on which you remained unequivocally positive, self-confident, and in control. In effect, this was also the date when the wonderfully created person that God intended you to be fell asleep. Because each one of us is born with an innate capacity to establish and maintain life balance, to accomplish inner peace, and to enjoy daily living. And for this reason, you in fact have been sleepwalking through those years when you were unhappy, unmotivated, out of balance, and lacking in confidence. And of course, no one can guarantee perpetual serenity from this day forward. Sadly, in every life, unfortunate, even traumatic events on occasion will occur. Perhaps your most recent golden period ended tragically and unexpectedly when a spouse or loved one passed away, or perhaps your marriage ended in divorce, and maybe a promising career was derailed when suddenly by a plant closure or a corporate downsizing. So for any number of valid reasons, you may not be able to recapture the past that you so poignantly miss, but let's turn to the future. How can you repair or replace and build upon your past golden interludes, or I should say restore, not repair, you should restore. No matter how dismal past or present circumstances, please don't expend 1 ounce of emotional capital mourning yesterday's losses or today's deprivations. And above all else, don't blame yourself. Rather than grieving, remind yourself continually that the human brain is a wonderful tool, yours and mine both. Within the mind, you and I can create magical virtual reality positive experiences simply by visualizing over and over in living color the certain accomplishment of rock-solid career, relationship, and lifestyle objectives. Do you really have in mind what those objectives are? You've got to start there, obviously. In creating your very own positive image of the future, be certain to fill in all the blanks. The more precise and complete your vision of and how wonderful your new life will be, the better your chances of converting fantasy into reality. Over time, a routinely imagined, continually reinforced positive self-image will result in a joyous actual life experience very similar to the one imagined. Meditate on it. As time passes, a fit, self-assured you will begin to interact with others, will implement solid plans that you will come up with in a uniformly positive manner. You'll interact with others, and a firm inner voice will promote a strict daily regimen of healthy diet and exercise and positive thinking, and a positive can-do spirit will assume firm control over your personal emotions. You've done it in the past, after all, in your golden intervals, so you can be positive again. And as you adopt a similarly positive, you will gravitate toward real results very similar to those you imagine, and a wonderful life will follow. During the initial stages of midlife renewal, I urge you to target the active control of your emotions. Condition yourself several times each day to close your eyes and visualize a positive ultimate outcome precisely on your own terms. And sooner than you may imagine possible, your subconscious mind will step forward as chief architect of your favorable personal destiny. And at this point, you will have successfully launched the highly invigorating process of constructing your very own joyful, accomplishment-filled life. And no one else is more qualified to do that than you. You've got to be CEO of yourself. No matter how difficult your current circumstances, no one in the world has the power to hold you back and prevent you from believing in yourself 100%. Nothing in the world can stop you from visualizing a positive ultimate outcome. And no one except you yourself can deny an unwavering confidence in your ability to influence that outcome. Dear sir or madam, wake up. From this day forward, do not let anyone convince you that you're over the hill. As a person in the middle, you can recall upon plentiful inner resources refined through years of irreplaceable adult life experience. At 40, 50, or 60, you have ample years left to map out and launch an optimistic, purposeful journey to a joyous, accomplishment-filled destination. This very day, I urge you to start imagining in your own mind all aspects of your career, your lifestyle, and your relationships in a brighter tomorrow. First, take Michelin Nader's advice and discover your true self. What were you placed on this earth to accomplish? What makes you happy? Then begin meditating daily on what your life will be like as one after another of your goals are accomplished. And perhaps a positive reference to your golden periods will be your role model, because you know you've been happy in the past. Now ask for your inner spirit and for God, universal intelligence, whatever you want to call it, to provide help in moving you from today to tomorrow, and plans for the future will start to take shape as you cooperate with others for mutually positive relationships and objectives. And as a revitalized person, as your revitalized nature begins to take control, I'm confident that you will discover answers and a roadmap to your future, and you will recapture the positive zest for living that you experienced in the very best of your golden intervals. This time, the joy of living and forward progress will be firmly in your own two hands. You won't have to depend on someone else for it. From this day forward, you will wave the baton as an accomplished maestro, and you're orchestrating your very own harmonious life symphony. And that's really what we all want to do, isn't it? Would you like to learn more about middle age renewal? Well, I urge you to preview my book, A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, by Roy C. Richards. Simply visit our website, middleagerenewal.com, or you can find it and preview it on Amazon or Barnes & Noble, and it's available either in print or ebook form. And that's our program for today. Next week, tune in as our guest will tell us how to avoid and live with and overcome chronic pain, and we'll talk to you then. For now, goodbye, and remember that middle age can be your best age.
You've been listening to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, hosted by Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of both A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, and Wake Up, Captain and Crew, Restart Your Engines. You can learn more about Roy and his Middle Age Renewal Training System by visiting his website, middleagerenewal.com.